were being quite disappointed, because at that time I began to notice the girls a little, and they began to notice me a little, and now here I am, and there's no girls, and there's nothing else out here but farmland and trees, you know.
Did you have all the same modern conveniences you had before?
No. No toilet in the house. Did have electricity. Had a wood-burning stove, wood heaters, that sort of thing. A lot of different work to do. A lot of work to do where there wasn't that to do in Atlanta.
Tell me about the work. What kind
the
of
work was like cutting trees and for the to fuel the stove and to fuel the heaters in the winter, and trying to stockpile that so that you would have that for the winter, and taking care of the chicken houses, having to take care of the chickens and clean the chicken houses out when the chickens were gone and put back new chickens, and keeping the watering pans clean and keeping the chickens warm in the winter and cool in the summer, and working in the garden and in the fields, hoeing out fields, something I've never done before in my life, and didn't know anything about how to do, but quickly learned, you know.
Did both parents continue to work?
Both parents worked at home on the farm. Neither one worked off the farm. Me and they both worked on the farm. Raising chickens and doing regular farm duties. We did have the one thing that I found the most interesting was that we did have a creek on the farm, and I spent a lot of time down there fishing and playing in the creek, swimming in the creek, so that passed the time away, so that kind of helped a whole lot. Give me something to do. As far as politically, Dwight D. Eisenhower and all the troops in Korea, the only thing I really associate that with is what I've seen in newsreels. And my father, having been in Korea, I associate him with, you know, that with him, and him having come home from there. The Cold War, I know about the Cold War, what it was about, and you know, and it was about basically one country spying on the other and trying to keep up and do an arms race against each other as to who's got the most powerful weapons and keep each other at bay, more or less, is what I know about the Cold War.
Were you guys preparing for that at all?
No. None of that was even really taken into daily consideration. It was something you heard about on the news and passed off and went on. And it wasn't really anything you paid a whole lot of attention to. You knew that. The biggest thing that brought the Cold War to light was the crash of a U-2 plane. Brought a whole lot of U-2 spy plane, and they ended up holding the American guy prisoner. I'm trying to think of the guy's name. His name was Gary something. I can't think of it right off, but it was Gary something. They kept him prisoner and interrogated him to find out what he knew and that sort of thing. That brought the Cold War to light a whole lot more than had been before. The biggest thing as far as about that time we moved out to Jasper, Georgia, right after that, then Kennedy was assassinated. And I remember in school that day that we'd all kind of talked on the bus and stuff back and forth, listening to our parents and that sort of thing, and we'd all talk back and forth on the bus about the elections that year. I think McCarthy was involved in the elections, and Kennedy and some more people, and Johnson, and who's going to do what when they get elected and that sort of thing, and who's going to start the war.
What grade were you?
About sixth grade, sixth, seventh, somewhere along there. everybody we're talking about. We were talking about just, you know, what we've heard our parents say more than anything else, you know, this guy's going to start a war if he gets in and this guy's not, and that sort of thing. But when the day Kennedy was assassinated, they came in and told us that everybody in the class stood up and cheered that the president was dead. And that's, I don't know, that's kind of unusual. Why would everybody do that? And I don't know, and I've thought about it a lot of times since, and I have no reason of why anybody would do that. But that was not only in our school, but that was done nationwide. No, that was kind of frightening to think about that.
Now, Kennedy was our first Catholic president.
Yeah.
How did the people in your area, because being a rural area, primarily Baptist?
Well, no, I liked Kennedy because I liked his speech, his inauguration speech. I really didn't pay much attention to anything else that went on during the election except, you know, I just kind of listened to my parents. But his inauguration speech, I sat down and listened to that. And I liked what he had to say and how he presented himself. And I thought he had a lot of potential to lead the country. I remember seeing the headline. My mother and father had gone to Atlanta that day to close out the house sale because the house that we had there had sold, and they had gone to Atlanta that day, and they came back with the newspaper with that headline on it. I wished I'd kept it. It'd be worth something now. But I never did figure out, you know, why, other than the only thing I can think about that is that because the country was in such shape as it was, you know, with the Cold War and everything, and everybody kind of thought of the president as the bad guy or as the, you know, as the guy causing the problems. I don't know. It's hard to say why that happened. But it happened not only in our state, but nationwide. That's weird. Real weird. I never did figure that out. But having grown up now and know more about Kennedy and what he did, I liked what he did. And, had he lived, I believe the country would have been a whole lot different than it is now. You know, the big thing about Kennedy was, you know, why was he assassinated? Who assassinated him? And was it a conspiracy and that sort of thing? I myself believe that it was a conspiracy by his vice president to do that. But that's my opinion, and everybody has one of those. So, we all watched, everybody watched, the laying in state of the president and the funeral procession and the burial. Everybody watched. School was let out for days, for about 3 or 4 days there, I think, during all this time, and I sat glued to the TV. I really couldn't, I didn't understand all that was going on, but I was watching, trying to understand, figure out what was going on and why. But that's pretty much what I remember of John F. Kennedy. Lyndon Johnson, I never did like what he did. As far as being president and the situation in Vietnam and all that was going on at that time, I just never did think he had control of the presidency at any time. He came in after Kennedy, and he never did really do a good job with the presidency or running the country or getting anything accomplished as far as Vietnam and ending it or going on with it and winning it, you know. He never did do anything with that, so.
Well, all the boys were drafted to go to Vietnam.
Yeah.
Did you get a draft notice?
I did get a draft notice. Well, I got a notice to report to be examined for the draft.
How did you feel when you got that notice?
I wasn't happy because by that time I was old enough to really understand that the war that we were fighting over there was not a war to win or lose. It was a political and financial type war, and I did not approve of why we were fighting over there. But I got my notice, and I knew I had to go get my examination, so I went down and did that. And there were two of my best friends also got theirs at the same time. We were all the same age. They got theirs at the same time, and we all went the same day. And ended up going through the process of getting that and taking all these tests and coming out. And then whenever we got back home, started really thinking about, you know, what would happen if we went. And one of the guys that I knew who had worked on my father's farm ended up going to Vietnam. As a matter of fact, I think whenever I got my notice, he was already there in Vietnam, or in Fort Benning, fixing to go to Vietnam. I didn't really want to go. I was kind of a silent protester, and I didn't really get out and majorly protest, you know, in any big fashion. But to myself, I knew I didn't want to go to fight in that particular war. And it wasn't because I didn't care anything about my country or anything. It's just I didn't particularly agree with the reason they were there fighting the war.
Did you guys try to figure out ways to get out of it?
No, I didn't. I ended up going to my draft board and talking to them, and they told me, you know, that if that came about, then, you know, if it rolled around, then I would be drafted. And it was a certain amount of time I had before I had to even worry about that after the examination. But during that time, I ended up getting married. And not to avoid the draft, but I just ended up getting married, and that changed my draft status. And then I ended up having my first child, and so that again changed my draft status. And my father was totally against me going for any reason whatsoever. He totally disapproved of going. And he was a veteran of World War II, you know, and the Korean War, but he just was totally against me going, and never did really come out and say why, but he just was totally against me having to go. And then my brother, we knew my brother would never be drafted because he had a small hand, you know, so we knew he would never have to go. I would be the one to have to go if anybody went, so, from our family. But as it turned out, then they came up with the draft lottery situation, and so I ended up never having to go anyway. So, but we used to sit at home at night and watch the draft lottery thing.
What was that like? It
was kind of like, I don't know, what is it? Price is Right.
You sit there and you wonder, are you going to win or lose on this deal? You know.
Wonder if you're going to end up going to war or if you're going to end up staying home because of whether they draw your number or not.
So they drew them publicly on television?
Yes, they did. They drew them publicly on television. So, you sit there and watch that for a while and get worried about whether you're going or not, and they draw a couple of numbers close to yours. And
so you had friends that went? No,
all of my friends, my closest friends, never went. They were like me. They ended up with some other draft status or reason they didn't go, and or the lottery, and they missed the lottery too. So I had one guy that I knew well as far as he worked for my father a good bit, and he went to Vietnam, and he was had to do with the radar and the detection systems over there. And so I don't think he ever really was in any major combat.